Once upon a time, there was a goddess. Not the kind whose name was carved in temples or whispered in supplication, but the kind who walked among mortals, quiet and almost unnoticed. She was soft in the way the world told her was weakness. She was gentle in the way the world mistook for silence. She wasn't strong in the conventional way, as you might imagine. Her strength was like that of a flower that can stand the force of a heavy rain and continue to blossom. And blossom she did, though the storms came often, though the weight upon her shoulders grew heavy. For a long time, she did not know that the pulse in her belly, the ache in her thighs, the fire low in her spine were not burdens. They were invitations. In the village where she lived, people admired the quiet girls best. The ones who folded themselves small, who wore modest smiles and spoke only when spoken to. And so the goddess folded too. She folded her voice, folded her hunger, folded her curious gaze that lingered too long on the curve of a woman's waist or the rough hands of a man at the market. She tucked these things away like forbidden trinkets, believing that to be good was to be tiny. But there was a wildness inside her, steady as the beating of her heart. It called to her on summer nights when the air was thick and sweet, when the other girls braided each other's hair and whispered about potential husbands. The goddess would slip away then, walking barefoot to the edge of the woods, where the trees did not ask her to be quiet, where the wind did not ask her to be less. It was there, in the hush of the trees, that she first felt it. That low, rich hum beneath her skin. A question stirring. A slow, delicious ache that made her press her thighs together. Made her breath hitch in ways she did not yet understand. The hunger was not only for touch, though she thought of that often. It was for freedom. For fullness. For the sweet, shameless indulgence of her own pleasure. At first, she only touched herself in secret, as if even the trees might scold her. Her fingertips were tentative, ghosting over the slopes and hollows of her body. She thought she might vanish if she pressed too firmly. But night after night, the ache returned, persistent. Impatient. It urged her to go deeper, to claim herself with bold, hungry hands. She began to learn the language of her own skin and the places that made her sigh, the rhythms that made her tremble. Her body did not shame her. Her body welcomed her. It bloomed under her touch like flowers unfurling at dawn, delicate and unstoppable. When she closed her eyes, she did not always imagine a man. Sometimes it was the sparkly-eyed baker's daughter who offered her rolls as sweet as her own at market, her flower-dusted hands brushing hers. Sometimes it was the huntress, lean and scarred, whose calloused fingers she longed to feel against her ribs. Desire, she learned, was not a straight road, but a garden with many winding paths. She was free to wander them all. With each secret meeting between her hands and her heat, something primitive yet divine stirred inside her. Not the quiet girl the village wished her to be, but the goddess. The one who was not built to be small, who was not born to fold. The goddess did not stay tucked away for long. Her steps grew heavier, more certain. She no longer shrank from her own reflection in the river's surface, but admired the plush curves of her thighs, the softness of her belly, the fire in her gaze. Where she once walked quickly through the village, she now moved like honey, unhurried, unapologetic. The men turned their heads. The women whispered behind their hands. "She's changed," they said. "She's too much now." But she was not too much. She was simply all of herself, and it unsettled them. They had no language for a woman who desired without permission, who adorned herself not to be chosen, but to delight in her own beauty. And oh, how she delighted. When she touched herself now, it was not in secret. It was not in shame. Beneath the canopy of the woods, beneath the silver gaze of the moon, she worshipped her own body with reverence and hunger. Her hands roamed freely, parting herself with greedy fingers, slipping into the wet places she no longer called sinful. She moaned like thunder, like wind tearing through leaves, like a creature too wild to cage. The earth seemed to pulse with her, the flowers opening wider, the trees leaning close as if to witness the sacred act. Magic clung to her skin like morning dew. She was no longer simply a woman. She was the storm. She was the blooming. She was the soft, irresistible force that would no longer be quiet. And when she returned to the village, they felt it. The blacksmith and his wife blushed when their eyes met. The young girls sat up straighter, curious, their own longing kindled by the fire that clung to the goddess's skin. The men no longer dared to call her small, or meek, or sweet. They did not know what to call her. They only knew they ached when she passed by, and that ache belonged to her, not to them. She had become the blossom the rain could not crush. She had become the story whispered between lovers at night, the one where the goddess did not wait to be chosen. She chose herself, again and again, until her body sang with it. And in the end, it was said, she did not need a temple. She was the altar. She was the flame. And she would never, ever fold again. And so, the villagers told her story for generations, some as a warning, some as a wish. They said there was once a goddess who bloomed in the rain, who unfurled herself in the woods and called her own name with reverence. A goddess who learned that softness is not weakness, that hunger is not shame, and that no one, not man, nor rule, nor whispered tale, could make her small again. They say if you walk to the edge of the forest on a warm night, you might still hear her there, laughing, gasping, singing her own body's song. And if you are wise, you will not be afraid of that sound. You will listen. You will follow it. And perhaps you too will remember how to bloom.